Well, last week we started in our series, or not a series, but our emphasis about following Him for our year. I'd like to emphasize that following Him. You remember last year we looked at great and mighty things, and the Lord just seemed to pave the way through that. And then I trust that this year that we would be blessed to truly just put emphasis on following Him in your personal life, in your family, in this church, that we might follow in His steps. And we looked at a passage in Psalm 25. I'm going to go back there. We preached a couple of verses. I'm going to look at a couple of verses after that. So we're looking at Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7. While you find your place in Psalm 25, I don't have a joke today, but I did hear this is a true story. And I feel bad when the preacher says, listen, I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. So this is a true story. This lady was, she was on a layover, and she'd went to one of those overpriced kiosks, you know, at the airport, and had got some stuff, got a newspaper, and got a pack of cookies. And so there's only one place to sit, and so she sat down there as quick as she could, and she started reading her newspaper, and she could hear on the other side of her newspaper, though, there was a rustling. And she looked over the side of the newspaper, and that there's a really nice looking guy, has sports coat, sitting in the seat beside of her, right, or on the there's a little table and then the seat, and he was getting a cookie and taking it. And she said, I can't believe this, Yahoo. He said, I paid good money. She said, I paid for good money for those cookies. But she said, I don't want to get mad. There's no other place to sit. She thought she was going to grab the pack and go. But she said, no, I can't go anywhere. So she just kept reading. Well, just a little bit longer, a little bit later, she heard rustling again. And so she looked over, sure enough, reaching that pack of cookies and getting a cookie. She said, oh, my goodness. So she reached and got a couple herself. And so she just eating on the other side of that newspaper. And she thought surely it was over. Well, happened one more time. And she was just fuming by this time, but she thought, I'm just going to keep my composure. I don't want to burst out at him. I don't want to cause a scene, get security, all that. She's just arguing all these things. So they're about the end of the cookie pack at this point. And to add insult to injury, there was one cookie left, and she was looking, and he broke it in half and slid half to her and took the other half. She said, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to get out of here. And so sure enough, her announcement was made for her flight. So she said, I'm good. And she just threw the paper down, leave it, and got her stuff, and got her bag and purse. And so she walked away. And as she was getting into her purse to get her ticket to give to the counter, she had a paper ticket, was going to get the paper ticket to give to the counter. She opened up her purse. There was her pack of cookies. She was eating his all along. So good thing she didn't say anything, because she was the cookie thief, not him. So, well, last week, you remember that in verse number 5, we looked at leading God, asking God to lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art God, for my salvation on thee do I wait. Remember, O Lord, or verse 4, show me thy ways, where it was mean to say, teach me thy paths. And then verse 5, lead me in thy truth. For thou art God, the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. I want you to look at verse number 6 and 7, and I'd like to, if God would help me, I'd like to put two aspects to the message this morning, and I want to look at a holy remembering and a holy forgetting. The holy forgetting, we'll have some points underneath there, but a holy remembering, and we'll look at that in verse number 6. So as we read 6 and 7, let's look together. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. But I want to preach for a little while from verse 6 and 7 about following him because I'm forgiven. A couple want to join a church, and they want to meet with the pastor to explain a few things to them. So they set up a time, and they met with him in their office, in his office, I should say. And the lady spoke up and said, well, Pastor, if you notice that I don't veer very far from him, there's a reason for that. And she went on to tell a very sad story, how they'd been involved in a church, but she had become infatuated with somebody else that she served with. And she, with her husband sitting there, told the pastor what had happened, that she had just lost all thoughts and ran off with this fellow that had served there in the church with her. And she said, I got to a place where, almost like the prodigal son, I came to myself. This was just the initial running off together. And she said, as a prodigal son, I came to myself thinking, what am I doing? And so she evacuated and left his presence and just went and called. The only person she could think of to call was her husband. And so she called her husband and she said, I know you don't want to have anything to do with me. I know that I don't blame you, and I know you don't have any forgiveness in your heart. I know that you couldn't love me, but I just need advice. What should I do? I'm in this spot, and told the place, the hotel that she was at, and all these things. And he said this, well, there's two kids that desperately need a mother, and there's a husband that still loves you. And he said, why don't you just let me come get you? And so she told this pastor that when a forgiveness and a love like that is shown to somebody, you don't easily forget it. And I'm looking at you and I, and I'm looking at every believer. When you and I have been forgiven so much by the great God Almighty, how could we not follow in His steps? I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we get into this morning about following Him because I'm forgiven. Father, be with us now is our prayer. I ask you to meet with us and impress upon each of us what you'd have us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this powerful forgiveness that's mentioned here in these couple of verses, we receive from God, this is why we follow Him. As I mentioned, I want you to see it two parts. Number one, in verse number six, a holy remembering. Remember, the Bible says, O Lord, thy mercies, he goes on to say, and thy loving kindness. J. Vernon McGee, in a book they put out, tells a story of a little girl that I guess as best as anything would describe what loving kindness is. She said it's like this. She was telling the groups in Sunday school. She said it's like this. When you ask your mom for a piece of bread or a roll with butter on it, she gets that. That's kindness. But she said if she puts jelly on it just because, that's loving kindness. I don't think it's a very doctrinal explanation, but it does kind of give you a little bit of how good God is. The psalmist says, oh Lord, remember thy tender mercies. And he talks about the goodness of God. And I used to hear people pray, say, oh God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God that let the Israelites cross the Red Sea, God that did this, and God of the Old Testament, God of the New Covenant. And I used to think, what a waste. Why say those things? God knows who He is. But then I realized that it's not silly to say those things because it's not that we're remembering and making God remember. We're saying those things and reminding Him so that we don't forget. And so when we say the Lord to the Lord, you're the Lord that's been faithful all the way through. Yes, it's giving praise to Him. Yes, it's giving glory to Him because He is that God that brought the Israelites through. He is the one that brought David through with Goliath. He is the one that brought Daniel through the lion's den. As one old preacher said, he's the one that got Gilligan off the island. But I don't think that's in there anywhere. But as you tell Him and you say, God, you are this. We are not telling Him things He doesn't know, but we're praising Him and reminding ourselves. And so as we look at this holy remembering, we see that the Scripture says, Lord, thy tender mercy, remember those things, and thy loving kindness. I think about tender. It's best described like a tender branch. After this cold spell gets off and warm weather comes on, there'll be people, they'll do some sprouting. And you say, what's that? That means when you go out in the fields and you cut these little sprouts, these little trees that have started growing up, you can just take, you don't even need an axe. You can just take a little sharp hoe and sprout. You can cut those out. Or you take the little tender branches or tender trees out of a fence line or a fence row and you'll clean those out. And you'll go be able to do that because they're tender. And God says here about Himself, and the psalmist says about Him, remember thy tender mercies. Remember the tenderness of the Lord, how He forgave you. There was a poet, which I don't know any of his work, but Edgar Guest. Edgar Guest, they lost their first child, and as he went to the old-timey pharmacy, the pharmacist who knew who he was motioned for him to come back. And so he went past the counter and went back to a little office that the pharmacist had. He put his arms on his shoulders. He says, Edgar, I don't know how to say what I'm going to say, but I just want you to know I mean it with all my heart. All I can say is I'm sorry. And if there's anything you need at all, you come get me. What's mine is yours. Guest would tell that story to many people afterwards. And he said that Jim Potter, that was the pharmacist, said Jim Potter might have long ago forgotten what he told me that day, but I have never forgotten the tenderness of that moment when he said, I am here for you. And as the psalmist says, O Lord, in verse number 6, remember, please, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. That's the God that you and I have the privilege of sitting here and worshiping today. That tender mercies, loving kindness God. I see, first of all, this holy remembering. God, don't forget how tender and how loving kindness, how loving you are and how much kindness you have. But then I have to say in verse number 7 that not only do we see this holy remembering, but in verse number 7, remember not. I see a holy forgetting. Remember not the sins, nor my transgressions. Now the bulk of the musing for this morning will go on this part of the passage, and it'll be this holy forgetting that we get the privilege of enjoying. But I want you to see, first of all, I usually put it in threes, and there'll be three right underneath here. First of all, I want you to see the time of forgetting. Look back in verse number 7, or verse number 6 rather. Remember God. Remember your loving kindness. Remember your tender mercies. Lord, forget not. Don't forget those things. They're of old. Lord, remember. And then God puts in his perfect timing. He puts in after that, now God, please forget some things. God's never forgotten anything except what He has chosen to remember against us no more. The Bible says, and if I'm my place, in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You go as far as you can east, and as soon as you find when it catches west, and that never happens, then you'll find where God has put your sins. The Bible says another passage in the deepest sea, in Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. But I challenge you to think about this. The time of the forgetting is, God, after all that loving kindness, after all that tender mercy, Lord, I want you to remember those things and praise your name that you forget these things. The time of forgetting, because my friend, you and I, if you're a believer in Christ, you will never stand before God and give answer for those sins as far as being cast into a devil's hell. You will never do that because the Bible says He forgave them. You are saved and you're taken care of. You'll never answer for those sins as far as your eternal destiny. You say, Pastor, what about the judgment seat of Christ? And that's a real thing. And every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says, and give an account, but you will never ever give an account as far as for your sins and the penalty and the punishment for those. Those were all taken on the back of Christ when He went to the cross. My friend, the wonderful time of forgetting is that God, in His loving kindness, has says that because of His mercy, that He will never remember our sins against us. The time of the forgetting is such a wonderful thought to my heart. And as I was trying to study this week, I just was feeling so overwhelmed about the goodness of God and how that goodness and His remembering how good He is only equaled in my mind by remembering how He's forgiven and forgotten my sins. But I want you to look further in verse number 7, not only the timing of that forgetting, but then I want you to see the test of this forgetting. It says, according to thy mercy. So, God, remember not those sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according, in reference to thy mercy. Some of you are old enough to remember, I looked it up. In 1980, I was 7, so in 1980 there was a Crazy Glue commercial. Fella put this crazy glue on a platform on the top of his hard hat, and that hard hat, they stuck to this I-beam, and he would just hang there dangling. Some of you old enough to remember that? Some of you saying, What's crazy glue? I didn't even know that. So he would hang there. How safe was he? Well, as strong as crazy glue was, is how safe he was. I didn't know if it was real. Back then, they might not have regulations like they do now. Maybe it didn't have to be legit, but I remember it. I remember it very vividly, that commercial, him hanging up there. How safe was he? only as safe as crazy glue was good. The test was how good the product was. And the test of this forgiveness is how good God's mercy is. How good is His mercy? The Bible gives the answer because it says in Lamentations verse chapter 3, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. There's a reason why you are not consumed already. There's a reason why you can sit here and thank God. There's a reason why you can go to sleep tonight and pillow your head on a pillow of peace as far as your eternal destiny. And that is because it's of the Lord's mercy. How sure can you be of the forgiveness of God? Only this far. Only as far as the mercy of God goes. And the Bible says they're new every day. Amen. Just as sure as some of us thought we were running shy on it, just as sure as some of us thought we were giving God a run for the money, so to speak, God's mercies are new every day, like an eternal fountain that never shall run dry. And I see not only the timing of that forgiveness, that the forgetting rather, is that God forget not those things, but God please forget these things. And there's some of us in this room that we are battling over bad things in the past, and we can't forget. But could I say it kindly? You're the only one battling with it. Because when you gave it to God, He forgave it. Now you can let your guilty conscience and your regret ruin you, or you can take God at His word and says He that cometh to me, or in 1 John 1:9, He says that He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that, my friend, was spoken to believers, not just those that were need to be saved. That was spoken to people already saved. Said, just confess it to Him, He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I see the test of forgiveness is only as good as the mercy of God is long. And my friend, you can look as far from here, go around the world three times, and you won't run to the end of forgiveness. As a matter of fact, don't stop at this world. Go to the universe that God's created, and go to another solar system, and go to somewhere else. All of this that God has created, and you will not run to the end of it. The Bible says that they are new, and that is the test of our forgiveness. But I want you to look at the end of the verse, and one more thing. Not only the timing and the test, but then the trust. The Bible says at the end of verse number 7, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. As if the psalmist is saying, God, remember me because your goodness is being advertised to the whole world. For your goodness' sake, because your goodness is on display. And Lord, please remember me. Forget not your good things or your goodness and your tender mercy and your loving kindness. But God, forget those things that I've done wrong, and forget the sins of my youth. And do that, Lord. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. We can trust God's forgetting because His goodness won't allow Him to violate His promise to forgive us. You know, there's a few things God can't do. He can't lie. And there's a few things that even at the fair booth sometimes we use those things. But there's a few things He can't do. But the only things He can't do are the ones that He's already limited Himself by His character or by His word that He won't do. He won't remember your sins against you anymore. Is it because He's forgetful? Is there some sort of disease that's making Him forgetful? He only is limited by the things that He Himself has limited Himself in. He won't break His word. And we see here that His goodness that's mentioned in verse number 7 won't let Him violate His promise. Because do you understand that if God just slipped the crack open the door once and let one little act that you used to do, back in and put it back on your account, that 99.99.999% of them got forgotten and forgiven and erased, but he let one creep back in and get back on your account, my friend, we'd be in a heap of trouble. Because in order to achieve, or in order to arrive in heaven, you have to be perfect. You say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Yeah, you and me both. But we are seen as perfect because of what the work of Jesus Christ did, because of his tender mercies, because of the forgiveness he gave, for his goodness sake, won't let any of his character be kicked out. So therefore, his forgiveness stays because his goodness won't let his forgiveness have a chink in the armor. And so as we see these things, we understand that we are following him because of who he is and because I'm forgiven. As the old saying goes, I'm in like Flynn, whatever that means, meaning that I'm in because of who I'm with. Her little boy that asked this shop manager if he could get a job sweeping the sidewalk out in front of this little store. He says, well, why should I let you? He said, well, I'm a hard worker. He said, well, what else? Is there anything else? He said, well, yeah. He says, I'm very neat, clean. I'm a neat guy. He says, is there anything else? He said, yes, I'm fast. I'll do it quickly. He says, is there anything else? He says, yeah, my dad owns the building. How many of you understand the last reason probably overrode all the other reasons? Well, my friends, I'm forgiven. My Father owns all this world. He doesn't only own this building, this town, this state. The universe is his. As a matter of fact, not only does he have sole ownership of it, but he's the one that created it. And so the trust that we have of his forgetting is for his goodness sake. There's no holes in his character. Folks, we are blessed. Amen. If you're in this room this morning or watching via live stream, if you're listening or watching or here and you're saved, I hope that the fireworks of God are going off in your soul to remind you how safe and how sound and how secure you are because of his goodness sake. And if you're watching or listening or here today and you don't have your salvation settled, my friend, wouldn't you want to trust and believe on a God like I just described that keeps his people so safe, so wrapped up? The Bible talks about us being in the hand of the Lord, and then Jesus' hand being in the Father's hand. He's got us sewn up, secured. So if you're here and you're a believer today, I hope that you would trust and see the test, whatever the world throws at God's salvation that he's given to you, we can trust and believe and depend on the Lord's work. Not only the Lord's work of what he did, but as I mentioned, we can trust that he'll never hold them against us ever again. Because you understand how legal things work now. A company binds themselves to do a certain thing for their employees or their co-laborers or fellow business or whatever. And that's as secure as another lawyer can come through and figure out how they can manipulate some things and get out of that contract. But God's contract, if you will, with us is coupled with his goodness and his character. So his goodness, for his goodness' sake, won't allow his character to be defamed, and it won't allow his promises to be broken or even pushed against. So if you're here this morning saved, may you just relish in what God has done in your life. And then if you're not saved this morning, you can trust a God that will take care of you. He can remember your sins no more if you would put your faith, your trust in him, because the Bible says that our sins must be paid for You say, Pastor, you said that you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven because your sins aren't going to take you there. That's true. But only because I've put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believed on Him. I didn't become a pastor to go to heaven. I didn't start going to church to go to heaven. I didn't start living a good life to go to heaven. You can do all of those things and still not. But what I did was I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He forgave me of all my sins, all my transgressions. And now, if you were to go say, God, what are you holding against John down there? God's not holding anything against me because all of my sins were forgiven by the perfect and complete work of Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're not saved, would you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? And if you're saved, I hope that you go out of this room walking 2 feet off the ground, reminding yourself how wonderful of God we serve, the one that saved us and forgave us. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for saving us. Lord, we follow you because we're forgiven. And I pray, dear Lord, that every believer in this room would determine again that following of you because of their forgiven status. And Lord, if there's one or several that are not saved this morning, oh, I pray, dear Lord, that they would put their faith in you. I pray that you've made it abundantly clear in their heart right there where they sit, that they're not good enough to go to heaven on their own. The only way they get their sins forgiven, the only way they would get to a place where they'll be remembered no more, is to put their faith in Christ alone for full forgiveness, His salvation work. Lord, if there's somebody unsaved right now, I pray that you're making that abundantly clear, and I pray they reach out to Christ in faith and receive Him. Bless us, Father, I pray, and we'll certainly thank you for all that you do. If you're able to, would you stand together with me? And as you stand together, just a little bit of musing, just a little bit of thinking. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Then, my friend, you ought to just feel, ooh, that special assurance. And if you're not saved this morning, you can have that confidence that Jesus Christ is yours, and your sins are going to be remembered against you no more. Oh, my friend, if you're unsaved, would you be saved? And saved friend, let's rejoice. If you're here and you need to come forward as she's playing, if you need somebody to deal with you, help you, show you from the Scriptures, Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. Is that you this morning, my friend? That forgiveness, that assurance, that confidence that I talked about, that could be yours because of what Christ wants to do in your life. You've been living with your sin all your life. Today's the day to let Christ save you. If you're here and you're not saved, please take care of that. And then if you're here and you're saved, I do mean it. I know you can't literally walk out of this room 2 feet off the ground, but I pray on the inside that you're just rejoicing about how good God is to you. Whatever your need is, as she plays just a few more moments, God spoke to your heart. I invite you to come. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. What a joy to be out here on this cold morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being in church. If you're joining us live stream, thank you for doing that. And I mean it with all of my heart. If not wise for folks to be out, I don't want them to be either. And appreciate you joining us today. Tonight, a special night. And Brother Stephen Carey will be with us. We're looking forward to that in a great way. He's over preaching Spanish. I think he taught Sunday school. He's going to preach and sing tonight. We're going to work him hard as we can while he's here. But it's his fault. He only comes in just a little bit. So we got to get it out of him while he's here. But he's not the only carrier here. We're going to have Brother Scott. He's going to pray and dismiss us. And then as you're dismissed, I trust that the Lord just continues to work in your heart and blesses you. And I'll be back at the back. Amy may be back there as well. She's been in the nursery, but that's why I had to quit a little early. It's 5 till, so I wanted to get out of here. Can't go over when your wife's in the nursery. She'll get on to you. I love you people, but I go home with her, so I really make sure I keep my... Like the one fellow said, I'm not henpecked, but I'm housebroken. I know the rules pretty well around the house. So, but we get out of here 5 minutes early. So thank you for being in church tonight. I do invite you back if you're able to. Tonight will be a special time with Brother Steve and Miss Leslie. We'll have a good time together. Brother Scotty, would you pray and dismiss us?
Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this good message that we heard this morning. Father, thank you for your love for us and for Calvary, Father, where you shed your blood for our sins, Father, to give us, those of us who've been born again, Father, to give us a permanent home in heaven, Lord. And a debt we'll never be able to repay, but Father, all we can do is just offer up a sacrifice of praise to you. But Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. Be with us as we go about our day. Bring us back safely tonight. Be honored and glorified through everything that we do, Father. And we pray and ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen.